di ona.
Mama di wiki, onyoma.
Agama tsuyum chineke mae.
Mama
ewe
wa.
Mama
ewe la.
Agama tsuyum chineke mae. Ezembe
wa.
Ezembu.
thank you this morning. You are the reason of our existence. You are the reason why we are alive this morning. Some slept last night, but they were not able to see this morning. Some saw this morning, but this moment they are nowhere to be found. That we return all glory to you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for counting us among the living. Be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we commit our lives into your hands. Lord, looking at us, we are not qualified. We are not worthy. But we pray that your mercy will speak for us. Your mercy will speak for us this morning. Your mercy will speak for us in today's service, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we commit everything we are going to do today in your hands. We ask you, Jesus, come and take control. From this moment to the end of the service today, may your name be glorified. May only you, King of Glory, be glorified. May only you, King of Glory, be seen, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, King of Glory, we decree and declare that whatever that bothers us, whatever that is troubling us, Heavenly Father, as we have come in your presence, we will not go home the same way we came. Father, transform us. Father, revive us in the name of Jesus. Thank you because we know you have done it. In Jesus' name we pray. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Please, you may have your seat. Praise God. Praise God. Are you happy this morning? Are you happy this morning? Are you happy this morning? If you're happy this morning, shout the loudest hallelujah. Okay. I want to thank Almighty God for what he's doing in Bride Assembly. I want to thank the Almighty God for the grace and for the revelation of his word. I want to thank God for everything he's doing in this ministry. The Lord has been great, has been doing wonders in this ministry. And I want to sincerely tell you that the privilege that is given to some of us to stand in this kind of wonderful church, in some churches, they do not give such privilege. In some churches, it is only one man that has a say. Every other person is not seen. But here in Bride Assembly, at times it's even very difficult to identify the overseer of the church. I expected you to clap for Jesus. It is only one who has truly dealt with the flesh that can allow such to happen, that can allow such thing to flow. And I pray that the grace of God upon his life will not dry. It will increase more and more. Without wasting much time, last week our able pastor, our able teacher, Pastor Lumide, he taught us something very interesting. He titled the message, can anybody remind us what our pastor, our teacher taught us last week?
The water test.
The water test. Appreciate God by clapping your hands. The water test. The water test. By the special grace of God today, we are looking at something, almost the same thing. I want to ask somebody a question. If we are teaching the same thing, just a little different, who can remove that word water? Because my topic is the same thing, but you remove water and put another thing there. Can anybody help us with the topic? Remove the water and put something else there. Okay, let's hear you.
Test of sincerity.
Test of sincerity. No, you didn't get it.
Life.
Oh?
Life.
No, I said remove water. D is there. Test is there. Just put something in the center, that's all.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, you are not getting my question. Okay, the question test. Is, remove the word. You know, our teacher taught us the water test. Am I correct? So I'm still going to teach the same thing, but one word makes it different. So I'm going to use the word D. I'm still going to use the word test, but there is something in between. Can anybody?
The word test.
The word test. Please appreciate God. You are not clapping. Appreciate God. Hallelujah. Yeah. The word test. The word test. That is the topic we'll be treating this morning. The word test. Praise God. Now, these three works you see, they are very powerful. That word D, that word word, and that word test, these three works, they are very powerful. Now, to begin with, that word D, I want to still ask a question because I want this class to be an interactive class. I want to still ask a question. Can anybody help me out among the sister? What is the difference between these sentences? A man came to look for you. The man came to look for you. Can anybody give me the difference? Okay, mama, thank you.
A man came to look for you. It's indefinite.
It's what?
Indefinite.
Indefinite.
The man came to look for you. It is definite.
Your
you
grandma
must have known about the man.
Okay.
When you put D.
D. Correct. Please appreciate God. Yes. She got it perfectly correct. Perfectly correct. A man came to look for you. The man came to look for you. They are not the same thing. For those of us that don't understand what she meant by saying indefinite and definite. Indefinite means that it's not certain. Definite means it's certain. Indefinite means unknown. Definite means known. So when we say the man, we are simple. I mean, when we say the word test, we are specific of what we are saying. Now, when you read the book of Matthew chapter 19 from verse 13, Jesus made a statement there when the disciples were trying to rebuke the children. Okay, he said, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples did what? Rebuked them. Verse 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of what? Of heaven. He did not say a kingdom. The kingdom. Which means that Christ knew what he's saying. There is a difference between a kingdom and the kingdom. And the kingdom we have is the kingdom of God. Praise God. Now, let's go to the next keyword. That is the word. Remember, this topic says what? The word test. In brackets, you can see it boldly. In brackets, it is what? Another evidence of what? Another what? Evidence of Holy Ghost. Another evidence of Holy Ghost. That means when the word tests, when a Christian, when a believer packs the word test, or ability of a believer, ability of a Christian, or ability of whoever that claims to be a Christian, the ability for you to pass the word test shows that you have the Holy Ghost. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can never pass the word test. So which means that the word test, can never be compared with speaking in tongues. Demons speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the best way, and it can never be the best way to evaluate or to dictate or to show that somebody has the Holy Ghost. The best way, irrespective of the position you occupy, irrespective of whom you are, the best way you can ascertain, the best way you can attain, the best way you can truly know if someone who claimed to be a believer, who claimed to be a Christian, have known God or have received God, is give her the word test. If she failed the word test, she's not born again. Quote me anywhere. Praise God. The word test. Now that word is powerful. The one we talk about word is powerful. Something happened this morning when I was coming to church. Immediately I highlighted at Ijesha. So I crossed to the other side. Now, immediately I crossed to the other side, then one bike stopped me, said, please, I know where you're going to. Can I take you to your church? I said, don't worry. Today, I'm not entering bike. I'm entering moto. Praise God. I'm entering moto. I have to be frank with you. I didn't see any moto coming. I spoke. And immediately I spoke. As I crossed to the other side, somebody just parked and I entered. Praise God. That is the power of the word. Keep saying it. One of these days, it will come to pass. Now, let me quickly tell you something. When I said the word, even God realized it and told us in his word. He said he honored what? His word more than his name. So which means that a Christian, you can call him Jehovah Shari. You can call him all manner of names and all that. But he's telling you that no matter whatever you attribute me to be, no matter whatever you call me to be, I agree with you. I'm also working in accordance to that. But if you want to truly know what I value most is my word. And he went further to tell her that heavens and earth will do what? Will pass away. But there is one thing that will never pass away. And that is the word. So for us to understand this, it has to bring us to a state or to a level to know that the word of God should not be joked with. You joke with the word of God, you are entering death. When Adam and Eve made attempt to joke with the word, what came into? Talk to me. What came into? Death. God said to them, give me Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I want to establish a fact here. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Go further. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Go further. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye what? He die. And the serpent came unto the woman, yea, ye shall not surely die. For God hath known that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and what? And evil. That word that God told Adam and Eve is too powerful. And God was not expecting Adam and Eve to go contrary to that word. They went contrary to that word, and death was introduced. When we say death, I hope you know, you can be alive, but you are dead. I hope you know. I hope you know. So what is death? Death simply means separation from who? From God. Because somebody may ask a question, God said they will surely die. But when they finished eating, they were still existing. But the evidence that they truly died was that the fellowship between Adam, Eve, and God was cut off. So you don't have to joke with the word. Even in Hebrews chapter 12, what did the Bible say about the word? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. It said what? Okay, sorry, Hebrews 4, 12. What did he say? Hebrews 4, 12. It said what? For the word of God is what? Is quick and powerful and sharper than any word, any two-edged sword. Now, how many of you have seen two-edged sword? The Lord is telling us, no matter how sharp that two-edged sword is, he said his word is more powerful than it. He said, well, it is sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the word, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow. And is the word, it is a designer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So if God is laying emphasis on his word, he's trying to make it understand that he himself is the word. He didn't get me. If God said, I honor my word more than my name, he's telling you that I am the word. So I am the word is synonymous to what we say we are born again. I am the word that was synonymous is to be, I have received the Holy Ghost. That means there's no difference between the word, the Holy Ghost, I am born again. They are the same thing. Let's see John chapter 1. Look at what John chapter 1 says. John chapter 1, please. It said, in the beginning was what? Was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Let's take that scripture again, please. Let's take that scripture, please. It said what? In the beginning was the word. Which means that the word has been what? Have been existing. Before we started reading the Bible, before we started carrying the Bible has been what? Has been existing. The Bible has been in existence. Oh, somebody's not getting me. The Bible we are carrying, the Bible we are reading, before we start reading the Bible has been existing. Because it said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? Was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 2. That the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him. And without him was what? Was anything made that was made? So we look at four things from there. Let's look at the introduction. Look at the introduction now so that we can get better. The meaning of the word in the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself is called the word. The word. Now, which means in the Greek, it's called logos. Now, that word logos, we saw it in John chapter 1, verse 1. The concept of logos in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 14 is one of the most profound theological ideas in the Bible. It connects Jesus to God's divine wisdom, reasoning and what? And creative power. Now, let us explore this further. This passage establishes several key truths about Jesus. Now, the first one. Now, from what we read, you remember the Bible says, in the beginning was what? Was the Word. That shows us that the Word has been in what? In pre-existence. What is pre-existent? Pre-existent means what? Logos. Now, what is logos? Logos means a thought. The Word of God started with logos. The Word of God started with a thought. And what is that thought did not end. The thought was put where? Was put in what? In the Bible you are carrying. So which means that the Bible you are carrying started with a thought. The Bible you are carrying started with what? With logos. And if the Bible you are carrying started with thought, that means that that Bible you are carrying is God himself. That means that that Bible I'm carrying is God himself. Because your thought is you. You are your thought. There is no difference between you and your thoughts. Praise God. Like what I said while I was alighted in Ijesha, that thought was my thoughts, and it remained my thoughts. And that thought led to what? To output. So the word of God have been existing. That is prayer existence. Well, how do I prostrate this thing more? When you look at there is a scripture. Let's proceed this more. In John chapter what? In John chapter 17, verse 5. John 17, verse 5. John 17, verse 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That's why when Jesus had an encounter with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he told them, before Abraham... Oh, you are not listening. Before Abraham. So he has been existing before Abraham. He is older than Abraham. His age cannot be compared with the age of Abraham. And there's no difference between Jesus and the world. Because in the beginning was the world. And the world was with God. And the world was God. We are going to somewhere. Praise God. I say praise God. That is pre-existence. Let's look at another point. After pre-existence, look at another thing there. Okay.
Now, that word, although it distinct, yet one with God. The Logos was with God and was God. So, Trinitrina, listen and listen to me carefully. There is no three gods. I believe we know that. There is no three gods, but there is one God. How do I know? He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you want to go further, you will understand that Christ is the image of what? Of the invisible God. Although having different manifestations, having different operations, he come in different manifestations, different operations, but he's still one God. He's still one God. B, C, let's look at C. C. Now, in that same scripture we read in John chapter 1, verse 3, you will also see that what? You will see him being the creator. Christ is the creator because all things were created, and without him there was nothing that was what? That was created. Christ is creator. Praise God. I say praise God. He is the creator. He stated that all things were made through him, and without him there was nothing that was made. The last thing, D. Incarnation. How do we know? Let's see John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14. And the whole was what? And the Word was made flesh. And what? And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the Word, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? And truth. It pleases God to what? To come in flesh. So God took a what? A body. And that body he took is who? Is Christ. He took the body of Christ and he came to earth. So God became a baby. He became a baby. Because the only way to redeem man is that he has to become a baby. That same God, you know, became a baby. For him to do what? For him to redeem man from where what Adam and Eve has created to man. So he decided to incarnate his only begotten son. And that incarnation makes you need to understand that he's the same God. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, and without controversy. He said, great is the mystery of what? Of godliness. God was manifest in what? In the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto what? Unto the Gentiles, believed on what? On in the world, received up unto glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. That means how God incarnated his son. And when you say incarnation, it makes you to understand that you cannot separate God from Jesus. You cannot separate Jesus from God. Praise God. If truly there's a word, there's a separation. Jesus couldn't have told us by saying that, I am the word. Oh, you're not getting me. What did he say? I am the way. He could have said that my Father is the way. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and what? And life. He said, no man cometh to what? To the Father except through me. Praise God. I say praise God. Now, if you look at this, this also made us understand the importance of the world. We are using this earthly illustration. We are using this earthly illustration. Let me ask a... Sorry, Mama, please, just a minute. Can you stand? Now, Mama, you are a parent, all right? You have children. Now, the children you have, do you know the best thing you can give them?
Yes.
What is the best thing you can give your children?
I can give them prayer and love.
Prayer and love. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, you can sit down. Who knows the best thing you can give your children? We are perfectly correct. Who knows the best thing you can give to your children? Just give her a mic.
To train them in the way of the Lord.
To train them in the way of the Lord. Praise God. You are perfectly correct. Now, you remember, to train children in the way of the law, you cannot train them in the way of the law without the use of the word. Without the use of the word. I'm still trying to make you understand how, how powerful words are. No man on earth, no woman on earth who wants to do true parenting can truly parent their children without a word. Because everything you may make an attempt to give to your children will be taken away from where? From them. You may give them cars. Cars will perish. You may give them houses. Houses may collapse. But there is one thing that even when they are out of the country, it goes with them. And that is the word. Why the word? If you look at that diagram, after your parents have given the children the works, who are you giving the works to? You are giving it to your child or to your children. And that words you give to your child or to your children will lead to formation. For you to know how powerful it will lead to formation. And after formation, it will lead to output. And the output is dependent on the works. If you give them negative words, there will be a negative output. If you give them positive words, there will be a positive output. So there is no difference between the words, the child, the formation, and the output. Praise the living God. So making you and I to understand as a Christians, if truly we have come to the body of Christ, if truly we have received Christ, we are simply saying that we have received a word from our Father. We are simply saying we have received a word from God. And being that we have received a word from God, then that word we have received from God will form you, will form us. And once that word is being formed in us, there will be an output. And the output cannot contradict the Bible. The output cannot go against the Bible. So the evidence that truly you are formed by the word of God is that your output will be the evidence. The output will be an evidence. So the question for you this morning is, which works are you receiving? It is unfortunate that we live in an era. It's unfortunate we live in a world where so many Christians, where so many believers are being filled with works that are meant for vulture. When you are being fed by the words that are meant for vulture, then the character of vulture will be exhibited. But when you are being fed by the true word of God, because the Bible says that, give me John chapter 1. Look at what John, before we read the scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12. Look at what it says. John 1, verse 12. But as many as what? As received him, to them he gave what? He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. But which were born? Hey. Which were from? There is something that born you. Which were born? Not of what? Oh, you are not reading with me. Not of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. But of God. So you're born again. It's not the same way you were born. It's not the same way your parents gave birth to you. Your parents gave birth to you by blood. They gave birth to you by flesh. They gave birth to you by the will of man. But you are born again. It's not of this, but of God. That's what the Bible says. We are born not of corruptible seed, but what? But of what? Of incorruptible seed. And that seed is the word of God. So how can you say you are born of God? You are finding it difficult to overcome world test. How can you say, brother, you are born of God? They bring simple world test to you. You can't pass it. Something is wrong with your born again. Oh, can you give this brother a mic, please? Brother, are you born again? The brother is not sure.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Are you born again?
Yes, sir.
What shows that you are born again?
It's by my character, the way I associate, the way I do things.
Okay, thank you. All these things you mentioned are secondary aspects that you are born again. You can exhibit good character, but yet you are not born again. Am I talking here? You can behave like an angel, but yet you are not born again. The evidence you are born again is that your will die. When they bring simple scripture for you, you should be able to pass it. Appreciate God by clapping your hand. We are going to somewhere. We are going to somewhere. Okay, the next slide. The next slide. The next slide. No, the next slide. Leave this slide alone. The next slide. Now, the meaning of test. All I'm trying to say is the word. The meaning of test. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 5, Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3,
or time will fail us to read that scripture. He said this word test has had different definitions. That word, that test I'm talking about, has different definitions depending on the perspective you are viewing it. But for the sake of our teaching, the word test here means the ability. One, the ability to accept. Take note of those words. The ability to accept. The ability to appreciate. You must accept the word. You must appreciate the word. You must acknowledge the word. The next slide. Go on. To receive, you must receive the word. You must agree with the word. You must take in the word. You must endow it. And that is the word of God when being taught, when being preached, or when being received. So what is the evidence that you have the word of God? What is the evidence that you are born of the word of God? The evidence that you must receive the word. You must appreciate the word. You must acknowledge the word. You must say, yes, the word of God is true. And you don't say it's true by your mouth. You don't say it's true by your words. You say it is true by acknowledging it. And what you acknowledge brings a reflection. What you acknowledge brings a change. What you have acknowledged brings anything you think of that makes you to deviate from your ways into another dimension. And that is the dimension of the Holy Spirit. Because you are born of the Spirit. You are not born of the flesh. So when you are truly born again, then you must fight to be in accordance with the word. Okay, let's go. Praise God. I say praise God. Now the next point, we are looking at the prototype. The prototype of word test. The prototype of word test. When we say the prototype of word test, and simply saying that there are other ways we can test a believer. There are other ways we can know whether that believer, whether that Christian is born of God or not. Give him a prototype. Give him the word of God. Call him, call her. This is what the Bible says. If she did not agree with it, brother, quote me anywhere, she never born. She never born. The evidence that she is born is that she must pass this prototype of the word test. Number one, the water baptism. The water baptism. I was at home, that was some years ago. Some years ago, I was, you know, when I newly joined the church, I heard from our pastor, you must baptize in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, no, this is not what the Bible says. Look at, give me that scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. What did he say? Now, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them what? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This was a statement Jesus made directly to his disciples. The disciples were there when Jesus was making this statement. But when you read the scripture, you notice that when they were carrying out baptism, they did not do baptism in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. How did they do the baptism? They baptized in what name? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts 2, 38. Acts 2, 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gifts of the word of the Holy Spirit. So, how were they baptized? They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Were they baptized in the name of the Father? Were they baptized in the name of the Spirit? Because every father has a name. Brother, you have a father. I have a father. Am I correct? What's the name of your father?
Okay.
Okereke. Okereke is the name of your father. For those of you that know English, that word father is a common noun. Anybody that belongs to the same category can bear the same name. My father is my father. Your father is your father. But every father has a name. The difference between your father and my father is the name they bear.
That's right.
So why will you say you are baptizing? It's a simple thing. Anybody that refuses to acknowledge that, check very well. Something is wrong with his born again. Something is wrong. It's a simple thing. I was arguing it before. And the Holy Ghost minister to me said, son, I told my people to baptize in the name. I jump out from my bed.
I went back to the scripture. I began to search for the name. And I knew there is one name. And the Bible said that name is the only name in through which men and women can be saved. He said there's no name given among men in which we can be saved. Except that name, Jesus. Except his name, Jesus. He said God has highly exalted that name and given him that name that is above everyone. He said at the mention that name, every knee bow. Praise God. Our mentality, our problem is inability to leave our denominational hangover. When you leave your denominational hangover, the Bible, that scripture is very simple. Look at another word test. So when you call a sister, you call a brother, preach to him. If you don't ask, don't argue. He never born. The next one, the apostolic office. Please listen and listen to me. For those of you that used to call me apostle or that used to call our daddy, no more apostle. The office of apostle has ceased. So anybody saying that he's an apostle is lying. He's lying. How do I know that the office of apostle have ceased? Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. Acts 1, 21 to 22. What did he say? He said what? He said, wherefore, of these men which have been accompanying with us all the time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Look at verse 22. Beginning from where? From the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So what is the criteria from that scripture to be an apostle? You might have seen who? You might have seen who? So those people that say they are apostles, have they seen Jesus? So how will you be claiming that you're an apostle when you have not seen Jesus? Look at another scripture. What do you call it? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians 2, 20. You can go and read the other scripture by yourself. Ephesians 2. It says, and what? And we are built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. Do you understand that scripture? That scripture is trying to make it understand that we have only one foundation of the gospel. And that one foundation of the gospel has been given by the apostles. So anyone that says apostle, you ask them, are you still building any apostles this year? No. You are no more building any, so you cannot be referred to be an apostle. You can't be referred to be an apostle because why? The foundation has already been laid. Why they were laying the foundation? They were not laying the foundation anyhow. There is a compass. There is something they are looking at. What were they looking at? They're looking at the cornerstone. Who is the cornerstone? Jesus. So they were building the world, the gospel, based on where the direction that Jesus Christ was showing them. You don't go contrary to it. That's why Apostle Paul says, cursed be he who preaches anything that we have preached. Because he was sure that they have laid the foundation. And foundation cannot be laid. Has anybody built a house before? Have you built a house before? When do you lay your foundation? Do you lay it twice?
No, once.
You lay foundation once. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude 1, verse 3. It said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once. Underline that word there. Which was. So when you tell somebody no more office and apostle and is arguing with you, something is wrong with his born again. See. I'm talking about the prototype. See. What is see? See. Play the next letter. Now, the woman apostles. Hey, women, they're not going to agree this one. Una go agree. The mommy Gio, are they here? Mommy Gio, say amen. Mommy Gio, say amen. Oh, we don't have Mommy Gio. Please, can you celebrate yourself? No, Mommy Gio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you quote a scripture to them, they will tell you that scripture is for the people of the Corinthians. But the question you have to ask yourself, which one is for the people of the Corinthians? Which one is for the people of God? The Bible made us to understand that the old prophecy was not given by the interpretation of what? Of men. The Bible said they wrote as they were moved by what? By the Holy Ghost. So what they wrote was not by their own works. It was by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that inspired them what they wrote. So the Bible you are carrying was given by an inspiration. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. First Timothy chapter 2. Let the woman learn in what? Shout it. Let the woman learn in what? With all subjection. This is Bible. But I suffer not a woman to do what? To teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. He said, let your women keep silent in where? In churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as God saith the law. So what are they saying? Give those women the word test. If they fail it, they are not born again. No matter how anointed they are, devil too can anoint. Devil too can anoint. No matter how anointed they are, if they not accept it, quote me anywhere, they are not born again. The next thing is the doctrine of Trinity. Those people that believe on the doctrine of Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we approve it. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. That God is in three persons. How can one person be in three? It's an error. When you tell them that God is not in three persons, they don't accept it, they are not born again. E. What is E? The worship of dead saints. The worship of dead saints. The Bible refers to them that have eye, but they cannot see. They have legs, they cannot walk. They have mouth, but they cannot speak. They have ears, they cannot hear. And you are worshiping it. How can you worship dead saints? How can you pray through dead saints? You are not born again. Jesus said he's only mediator between God and what? A man, he's only mediator. So praying through strength, praying through this, praying through that, it is unscriptural. And anyone that does it is not born again. The next one. The word test proves. Now let's look at the sermon notes while we round up. The word test proves who you are. Brother, it is true that all these things I have mentioned, they may have nothing to do with you and I. We might have grown beyond that, good and fine. But I will tell you, the word test proves who you are. You cannot go contrary to the word test. You can't. Going contrary to the word test shows that you are not born again. The next sermon notes. Look at the next sermon notes. I'm talking about how you know a believer overcomes the word test if the seed or the word of God is in what? Is in him. You cannot overcome the word test if you are not born of the seed of the word of God. The evidence that you are born of God, the evidence that you accepted the word of God, shows that you are born of God. If you go contrary to it, it means that something is wrong with you. So I'm going to leave you here today with an assignment. That assignment is, are you struggling with the word? Am I struggling with the word? If I'm struggling to obey the word, I'm not born again. Ministers, if we are struggling to obey the word, we are not born again. The evidence that we are born of God is that we must accept the totality of the word of God. Look at the next sermon notes. The only difference, brother, the only difference between a believer and unbeliever is the word of God. It's the word. That's the only difference. What makes me different from you is the word. Is that you accept it or you reject it? You reject it, you're not born again. You accept it, you're born of God. You see, we pass the word test when we accept the totality of the word of God. You don't accept one and say no to other. It's not possible. Do you know what it means that when you say you are born of God, you are simply saying that you are the word of God? How can the word of God go contrary to the word of God? You are not born of God by the blood, by flesh. You are born of God by the word of God. And they present the word of God to you. You are saying no. Can I say I'm no more, I'm your son. I'm your son for now. Even if I disown you. Do you know you are still my son?
Of course.
What makes you to still be my son?
You are the one that born me.
It's not because there is something that makes me. Apart from you are correct, but there's another thing.
Blood.
There is blood.
Yeah.
Blood flows in you. That blood is the word of God. So if the blood of the word of God flows in you and you are saying you are born of God, and they are bringing the word, somebody has born you. Not be God, born you. The next one, the next point. He said the best mirror, please tell me that, help me with that. The best mirror is the Bible. When you read the book, do you know there are some women that go to toilets, not because they want to defecate, not because they want to urinate, they go to toilet to go and watch standing. You know there is standing mirror. Oh, you are not getting me. When I not get standing mirror, I never been in women toilet. Please, give her mic. You get standing mirror on your toilet.
Yes.
Do you know that some women go to the toilet, not because they want to defecate,
for sure,
not because they want to urinate,
sure,
to go and see how beautiful they are. To go and see how they dress. If it not happen to him, they happen to me. No, no lie. Even some men, they do it too. They do it too. They go to the toilet to see how cute they are. But that mirror fails. Hey, that mirror fails. Do you know why that mirror fails? As you are coming out from there, he can never remember how your face looked like. You can't remember. As you are coming out from that mirror, if care is not taken, if you are posted with the mirror, you'll be going there every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes, every this, every that. But the more you are going there, the more you are not seeing how you look like. So the best mirror is the mirror of the world. It's the best mirror. Please, brother. Now look at this. Okay, please come and help us. Now look at yourself in the mirror. Are you seeing yourself in that mirror?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you are seeing yourself in the mirror?
I'm seeing myself, sir.
You are seeing yourself?
Yes, sir.
No, you're supposed to see me now. Something is wrong with this mirror.
I'm not seeing you.
It's like something is wrong with the mirror. Who is he supposed to see? Talk to me now. Huh? No, we have mirror that when you are looking at it, instead of seeing yourself, you will see another person else. Because they taught me when I was in the village, my mother told me, I know they told some of you that, never to look at mirror by 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. Did I tell you that? They told you? You see what?
A ghost.
They told me. So when I came to Lagos, I decided to obey. But one day, I said, I'm born again now. Let me try the mirror by 2 a.m. I tried the mirror. I was thinking to see a ghost because I was ready for that night. Because I have fasted. I have prayed. Let me see the ghost. I know how the ghost looks like. Unfortunately, I did not see the ghost. You know what I was still seeing? I was still seeing myself. That means that is superstition. That is superstition. So when you're looking at yourself in the mirror of the word of God, I will tell you, that mirror of the word of God reflects whom you are. So which means that what you are, you that is looking at the mirror, you are you. But the person you are seeing in the mirror is the word. It's the word of God.
Yes.
So when you are saying that this thing I'm seeing in the mirror is not me, that means something is wrong with you.
Yes.
And when you are not truly seeing yourself, something is also wrong with you. So the only thing that you have to see in the world is you.
Yes, sir.
So, children of God, as I round up this message this morning, you have to ask yourself a question. Who are you before God? You have to ask yourself a question. Are you born of God? Are you born of God? Are you still fighting with the word? Ministers, in Matthew chapter what? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Let me talk to my brothers. In Matthew chapter 8, verse what? Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. What did he say? Matthew 10, verse 8. He said what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devil. Freely you have what? Freely you have received. And freely you should give. So any minister that is still telling you that to bring money before he pray for you, that minister is not born of God. The evidence that she is born of God, the evidence that he is born of God, he must not charge you because the mirror of the word of God is against it. The mirror of the word of God, do not allow it. And apart from that, there are some of us that said, I'm not a woman pastor, I am not this, I am not that. But the question you have to ask yourself, which of the world are you fighting with? Which of the world are you quarreling with? There are some brothers that are what? That are still fornicating. There are some brothers that are still committing adultery, are still doing all manner of things and all that. That is against the Bible. It's an evidence that you are not born of God. Because the Bible says if you are born of God, you will not commit that sin. I will not commit that sin because why? I am born of God. But that does not mean that a believer cannot fall in sin. A believer can fall in sin. But the evidence that you are truly born of God, that you must not enjoy that sin. You must not enjoy it. You will fight it. This is not what the Bible says. This is what I'm doing. That was what happened to Apostle Paul. He said, "All wretched man like I am, I intend to do good, but I'm doing evil." He said, "Who will save me from this bondage?" Say, glory be to God. Say, glory be to God. That God has given us his word. And his word cleans us from every forms of what? Unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If you are blessed this morning, celebrate God by clapping your hands. Praise God. I want to take one question quickly so that we can go. One question. Okay, praise God. I say praise God. Okay, let's not take that question. Reason why people fail the word test. One, lack of readiness of the minds of the mind. In Acts chapter 17, verse 4:11, the Bible said the church of the Berea, they were more noble than any other. Why? Because they did not just swallow what the apostles were preaching. The Bible said they were confirming to know if what the apostles preach is true or what or not. You cannot accept that word test or pass the word test if you're not ready. The next one, lack of searching the scriptures. When you are the type of a Christian that is finding it difficult to search the scripture, you cannot overcome the word test. The next one, see. See, the believer of worship or dogmas and Greeks, they can never pass the word test. No matter how sweet it is, no matter how you present it, they will still fail the word test. Because why? They are too loaded with dogma, with men's doctrine and all that. So there's no how you can preach them out. No matter how you say it, they will never accept it. The fear of what people will say. They know that what you are saying is true. But because of fear, because of what people will say, if I agree now with this brother, if I agree with this pastor, what will my member say? What will that person say? What will it? So because of that, instead of accepting the word, they will reject the word. Denomination, denominationalism system. I have preached that topic. And the last one is pride. Bow your head, let's pray. Bow your head, let's pray. Begin to talk to God. Are you born of God? Am I born of God? Which word of God are you fighting with? Which word of God am I fighting with? Have you come to God? Talk to God. Talk to God. Tell him to help you. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. He's the only one that will help you.